Good morning, my friend, Tom Weeble, in your backyard. One community we serve gets our attention today, and that is the city of Marion and its popular airport out on the east side. For many years, adventurous pilots have enjoyed the unique sport of soaring in great circles above the landscape, maneuvering their small, graceful, motorless aircraft in the invisible updrafts produced below in that same landscape. Only the rush of air breaks the silence. And who better to explain this sport and its hobby than Mark Martin, a veteran pilot and a retired commercial flyer, and we'll learn more about that. He is president of the Central Ohio Soaring Association, which has been based there in Marion since 1957. Is that right, Mark?
That's it, yes, sir.
How's the membership numbers these days?
We hold pretty steady, about 75 to 80 members.
Mm-hmm. And there have been a lot of folks through there. Later on, we're going to actually, via recording, take you flying for a while. And that pilot, get to it later, but we think he's still around, although he's not in the club at this time. But I came across that recording and said, well, that's enough to build a program around. So here we are with Mark on hand today, and our good buddy Chris at the controls as we record, and he's always okay to jump in if he has to. So Chris, thank you again. Well, as we discuss this, it's called soaring, it's called gliding, and right away, Mark, you had pointed out there is a difference.
Yeah, people call it a glider or a sailplane, and we differentiate if you're not staying up and you're just coming down, you're a glider. If you're staying up and climbing, you're in a sailplane, and then you're soaring. So it's...
What do these aircraft actually look like? Describe them for us.
Basically, there's some really sleek styles of gliders out there. They're carbon fiber all the way down to just metal frame with a fabric covering.
Mm-hmm.
Our gliders, we have both kinds. So,
do folks bring their own aircraft versus renting?
Yes, we have about... 16 or so private gliders in our club. Not all of them are flying. There's probably four or five of us that have our own that do a lot of flying in our personal gliders.
What's the attraction?
It's quiet. It's just amazing how you can stay up there, not come down. Some days when you want to come down, you can't get down, which is kind of different because there's no engine. But, yeah, we've had days where the soaring has been so good that you start down and you run into some what we call lift or rising air, and you start going up again. So, yeah, some days literally it's hard to get down.
Folks who wanted to watch, I'm sure some pull up and kind of observe things. Is it always just on Sundays? Or is it on different days?
We fly Saturdays and Sundays, sometimes during the week. The weather is good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll coordinate, get a tow pilot.
Go now, this is the way these aircraft, of course, without an engine, get into the air. Talk a little about the towing part of things.
So we use a little Cessna 150s. We put a bigger engine in them, attach a tow line to it, the tail end of the Cessna, and the nose of the glider, and we go flying. He tows us up there a couple thousand feet, and we'll get off and on our way.
When you get off, it's the glider pilot that cuts it loose?
Yeah, the glider pilot releases.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But you can go, of course, generally folks will see you flying in the vicinity of Marion, but I just learned that depending on conditions, you can go a long ways.
Yeah, so basically the members in the member aircraft just stay around the area. Those of us that have our own private gliders, we'll do cross country. And on a nice day, we'll, you know, fly a couple hundred miles just flying around Ohio. We usually head up northwest to Findlay and Henry County or down to the Cincinnati area and back.
And you know, based on conditions, that you can get back.
Yes. Okay. Most of the time.
Now, if something happened, I guess you look for the closest airport. I don't want to get, you know, the other direction on this, but I guess you can always land these aircraft in a farm field or something if you had to.
Yeah, I've picked up a member and a couple of farm fields, usually we keep an airport in sight while we're flying, at least an airport that we can make. So if anything happens, we at least have somewhere to go.
Mm-hmm. So usually fly on a little formation with others when you do that?
We try to, but some guys get up and they're gone pretty quick, and they're fast and can't catch them. And so but we kind of keep in communication.
There are various designs, of course. The one I flew in and the one I based the program on that I forgot I had, actually, was called a Schweitzer. Give us a little lesson in the different types of aircraft.
Yeah, so there's performance, what we call lift over drag. We can go so far per 1,000 feet of altitude. So like my glider, for every mile up, I can glide 43 miles. Some can glide over 60 miles from being a mile up. And the little Schweitzers, on a good day, maybe they can go 20 miles.
Mm-hmm.
From a 5,000-foot height. So, yeah, there's all different types of gliders and performances.
So you wonder what keeps them up. Now, there are things called thermals or updrafts. Give us a little lesson in what keeps you up there.
So basically, in the summertime, you see those nice white puffy clouds, and they're formed by the sun heating the ground. And then the hot air starts rising. And it reaches a point where the temperature is cool enough where that air condenses and forms a cloud. So what we do, we get in that rising air mass and circle and climb up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you get up there to make out cloud base and you head for another one. So that's basically what we do here in the Midwest.
We're going to go flying in just a couple of minutes. Certification, what rating do you have to fly these?
So you need a private pilot license, which requires training. It depends. You need so many flights, and then you have to take a written test and a flight test. You can solo a glider at 14 years old, and you can get a license at 16.
When was your license?
So I soloed when I was 15, got my license at 16. In a glider.
Okay, there you go. I think we'll take our break for our good sponsor here, and then we'll come back and introduce you to the sound and the fury and all that sort of thing right here on our program today. Mark Martin is the fellow with the information on gliding and soaring, whichever term you prefer. And a gentleman named Stanley Quayle was flying some years ago in Marion, took me on a flight and described things, and we certainly appreciated that. All right, right now, a word from Mosier's Market.
Wing up!
Rolling.
ground that fast. It doesn't take long when you're being towed. Stanley Quayle at the controls on this very gorgeous day. Taking off from Marion Municipal Airport.
200 feet. At 200 feet, we can turn back to the airport in case the rope breaks.
It's nice to know. Interesting sensation. The first time I've ever, of course, been towed behind another aircraft, and to watch an airplane flying just a couple of hundred feet ahead is rather intriguing. We're trying to stay right in the directly behind that aircraft as we rise over the Marion area right alongside Interstate 71. Only the sound of the air around us. No engine.
It'll get even quieter when we release from the tow plane and slow down.
Now they're a little pump. That's a good feeling,
right?
Right?
Oh yeah!
That's what you want to feel, right, Stanley?
Right. Another 1,000 feet higher.
A little bumpy, but that indicates that we're getting what you want up here on this day. Heading upward, we're going to get to 2,000 feet before cutting loose. But off to the left, another sailplane heading the other direction. Do you have to keep any special separation between you and another glider?
No, but we attempt to not come too close. And once both pilots have agreed to make it a formation flight, it's really not a good idea to circle too close to them.
What's our altitude right now?
1,400 feet above the ground.
Okay, so we'll another 600 feet to go here. Again, we're soaring. Well, we're being towed. We're not really on our own yet. This aircraft, and we'll get a little more description when the pilot doesn't have to concentrate quite as much to follow the tow plane. Look down and see Marion, Ohio Nature's Research Farm down below us, about 1,500 feet below.
They're always good for a little extra lift because of all the brown fields they have. We appreciate their presence greatly.
We'll talk more about optimum lift areas when we get cut loose and you're more relaxed.
Running through something right now. I'm trying to memorize it so that we can get back after a release from the tow plane in case we need it.
Found a good thermal there?
Yeah, right over this brown field back there to the left. We're still running into it. Probably release right here.
Okay. There it goes. And we're on our own. You heard the sound and the plane heads off. Turn to the right quickly.
Yeah, the sailplane turns to the right, and the tow plane turns to the left.
Okay.
The sailplane's supposed to continue climbing if possible, then that way there's a minimum chance of running into each other. Should get here pretty soon.
We're going to try to get back and pick up this updraft over the field that we referred to a few seconds ago. Cumulus clouds around, and they say that's kind of good. That seems to help things.
Here we go.
All right. And we're turning in. Stay right
up.
And we are rising. Very good.
For the moment. In a little bit, we'll have to concentrate on trying to center the thermal. There's a strongly rising area in the middle, and the air around it rises more slowly. We want to get into that center and stay there.
Okay.
We'll try left here.
Has this traditionally been a pretty good spot for you?
Any good brown field usually generates some rising air because of the heat from the sun. Nature's over here is usually a good place. We'll go try it.
All right.
We're having a little trouble staying in the center of that one.
Realize this is all invisible to him. You just have to rely on, this is called real seat of the pants work here.
Yeah, this is, we rely only on instruments and our own feeling about where the lift might be. Some days it doesn't make any sense of where it comes from, and other days you can predict it every time. Some days you just come back real quick. Let's hope this isn't one of them. Well, we've got something. Let's see if it pans out.
Banking sharp left. First time flying with no engine there, and it's great. It's really it's relaxing, and just you and the elements.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so much work, but when you get back on the ground, you realize how good you feel because of it.
Uh-huh.
Right now, we're literally fighting to stay up because it doesn't look too promising at the moment, but I know there's something up here. We're in and out of it.
Uh-huh.
Give me an elevation reading if you get a chance.
We're at 1,500 feet right now.
So if we go down much around 1,000, that means that we'll have to be thinking about landing. So for now, we're going after it.
Yeah, we're just holding our own right now.
Okay. Of course, the sensation is though you're almost just spinning around on one point. In reality, you're traveling. I don't know, what kind of knots are we making through all this?
Oh, about 40 miles an hour, 40 to 50.
Uh-huh.
But at this speed, when we start to turn, the radius of the turn is almost zero. We can circle a spot. If we were down low and able to actually see how short it was, we'd be circling less than 200 feet.
This stick is moving almost continuously to give you an indication that Stanley is really working to find a thermal here to maintain altitude.
Okay, we're in something now. If we could stay in this above 2,000 feet,
mm-hmm.
then it'll get real easy. Right now, it's literally scratching, fighting for one's life. If you look way up in this cloud that's almost right over us, you can see another sailplane way up there. He's managed to get, see up there? He's managed to, managed to get up there and stay in it.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully, if I do it just right, we'll be up there and join him. And that's some of the most fun thing to do. Go up and circle with another plane. It's a beautiful experience. Even better sometimes is sharing a thermal with a hawk or another bird. you actually start to think of yourself as a bird, one of the elements, actually belonging there. They don't like us so much, but they don't have any choice in it.
Is that what the thrill of this is then, just you against the, as we were saying, against the elements there?
Pretty much. There is a strong element of camaraderie when you can actually join in and circle with other sailplanes.
Mm-hmm.
But to a large extent, until you get up to the base of the clouds, you're on your own. You know, you can watch the other sailplanes for an idea of where they are and where they're flying. And, you know, maybe if your thermal isn't panning out, go over to one of theirs.
Yep.
But mostly it's just a personal struggle to stay up.
How are we doing right now?
Oh, we're still about 1,500 feet, which isn't bad considering we don't have an engine.
And we're maintaining.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now we're just searching for something because we seem to have lost it somewhere. I know it's around here somewhere.
Can you assume it's right underneath the one above you?
No, because the thermal actually moves with altitude. The optimum point moves downwind as you get higher up. So the field we're probably working is to the right here, whereas that cloud where that other plane is at is to the left of us. Here we go. It's kind of bumpy here right through the core. We probably shot right through the center of it.
Uh-huh. You think you got it figured now?
Well, we'll see. It's really hard to control right through the middle of it. Until you get positioned right, it's very difficult. Once you're in the center of it, though, it usually gets pretty smooth. It's very amazing. It's almost glassy. Until you are there, it's a real royal pain. Well, we shot through right through it again. We're going up slightly, though. Right. Can't beat that.
Good, good.
Back out of it on the other side, probably. We have one member in the club who's been flying these things for so many years, he can just look down at the ground and tell you where it's coming from and says, turn right. And it's there.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to develop that skill yet. Someday, though. I've been flying for as many years as he has.
How long's it been?
How long
have you been flying?
Oh, I've had my license now. It'll be 3 days. It'll be 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Kind of interesting. Trying to figure out what I'm going to do for a celebration.
You prefer this over powered aircraft?
Well, this is more pleasurable since it doesn't actually do anything. Since you've admitted to yourself you're not actually going to try to go anywhere with it. You know, you're not actually going to try to fly to, you know, England or something. You know, it's more realistic. You're honest. You're saying, well, I'm just going to go up to kill a couple hours.
Yeah.
You know. We need to roll this runway someday. Okay.
Well, you can tell them I kept you distracted too much.
But that's not an excuse.
Well, we are down, and it was Good flight, and I'll thank you, pilot, if I don't get a chance to say that on the tape.
A lot of fun.
Oh, it was fun.
I can see why you like it. You enjoy doing it.
And that was a very interesting flight. Mark Martin, any particular observations, comments on what you heard?
Well, some days you have a good day, and some days you don't have a good day, and it seemed like he was struggling to find the lift, as we call it. And
mm-hmm.
when other people found it, he didn't, and it happens to all of us.
Okay. Well, and we appreciated that with Stanley Quayle some years back, and that was fun. As far as the public and taking rides, should I even bring that up? I mean, can you do that?
We do give rides. There would probably be a wait because members are flying and the glider's up in the air, and we have to pair you with either an instructor or a commercial-rated pilot in gliders. So, yeah, we do give rides, but you'll probably be waiting a bit.
Is there a fee for that?
Yeah, right now we charge $100, and your ride could be anywhere from 20 minutes to 45 minutes. So
okay.
We can't really guarantee anything.
Well, there you are, folks. Use your discretion. But it is a lot of fun. So I can understand the appeal of doing that. Does that prompt anything else in the way of comments on the sport?
The sport is it's just a relaxing way to fly, especially when you're up there with no engine and you're still in the air and not coming down and just cruising along. It's a different feeling.
Do most folks stick with it for quite a while once they discover it?
Pretty much. The young people we have, usually they're pretty enthused, and they start out into it, and then life happens and they get away from it, but eventually come back when their kids are grown and they get back into it.
Central Ohio Soaring Association. You want to mention a website or anything like that?
Yeah, we have a website, centralohiosoaring.org. Explains everything. It's got some pretty good videos in there and old time pictures and stuff.
And based, of course, at Marion's Airport, and since 1957?
Yes.
Wow. And there are similar clubs all over the country, I guess.
Yes, there's clubs in practically every state.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you need to know more about soaring, gliding, etc., that's where they are. And you're there on site for those who want to just watch. Saturdays and Sundays, obviously not precise hours, but generally, what, more in the afternoon?
Well, we're there usually from 8:30 until people are done flying 5-6 o'clock at night, Saturdays and Sundays, weather permitting. And we do fly year-round.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes.
Well, all right. So there's the story from Mark Martin. In a few minutes that we have, we mentioned you flew commercially quite a few years. Tell us a little about that part of your life.
It started with TWA, for those of you old enough to remember them, back in 88, and then American Airlines bought us. So I was there for 35 years. I flew a lot of international with TWA, and in my career about 7 months ago, 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm. You obviously enjoyed it and flew some good-sized aircraft, right, at times.
Yeah, I flew international with TWA, the 767, and did that for 5 years, and it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I was based in Frankfurt for a couple summers, flying around Europe.
Okay.
Yeah, there were some good times flying in the airlines.
What's the state of things these days? Look at it in a general way. It's staying busy. We see that from all these news reports.
Yeah, it is. People are back flying, and because of some regulations they put on, it's been harder to get the time required to get in the airlines, and that's caused a big shortage. It's not cheap to get 1,500 hours that they require.
Are they working at recruiting more pilots, maybe out of college or other places?
Well, they still have to get the time. So some airlines have had their own, like, schools where they provide the training, but you still have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
What about the physical requirements? Decent eyes?
No. I
mean, can there be some eye correction?
Oh, yeah. As long as you correct it to 20/20, you can fly. And there's a lot of medical conditions that you can fly with also that you'd be surprised.
Would you take physicals, what, at least annually?
It depends. There's different classes of physicals, but with the airlines, it's usually once a year. Sometimes every 6 months. It depends on.
We just learned that recently that expansion plans that'll take a year or two for John Glenn, our Columbus airport. What's your first impression of those plans?
I think it's about time. Columbus is getting big, and with Intel moving in and all the other industries that are coming here, the high tech, it's going to get pretty busy. So, yeah, they need it.
But it appears that folks very much love flying hither and yon.
Yeah, they do. It's actually pretty cheap compared to 40, 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So. Was there ever a time that you had any other option than flying?
No, that was the one thing I wanted to do. So just fell into it. It worked out for me.
Mm-hmm.
I did corporate first for about 8 years, and then I got on with TWA.
Well, Mark, it's been fun. Thank you for taking part, mm-hmm. and wish you well in your retirement, and you're continuing to lead Central Ohio Soaring Association.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you much. And I thank, as always, my assistants from Chris Johnston, as well as Trish Landsberger, and my son, Bill Weeble. So don't forget the podcast's available at my967.net. And so I'm Tom Weeble, now flying up and away from your backyard.